It's the Rosie on the House show with Rosie's friends from the Galaxy Lending Group. We're talking home financing. Call with your questions right now at 1-888-ROSIE-4U.
Welcome back, Arizona homeowners. You're listening to Rosie on the House, where we show up every Saturday morning and have for 27 years. We're the Arizona weekend tradition. We come with the purpose of becoming your best friend. We come together every single Saturday, get on the air with the sole purpose of becoming your best friend. We want to be your best friend. Now, I didn't say we wanted to be your expert. We want to be your best friend. We've been building and remodeling here in Arizona since the late 60s, early 70s. Regardless of where you are in the state, give us a ring. We've probably done some work in your area. We've done work in Eager and Springerville, Nutrioso, Alpine. We've done work in Sholo. We've done work in Flagstaff. We've done work in Wickiup, Arizona. Huh? Yes, we have done work in Wickiup, Arizona. We've done lots of work down in Tucson and tons and tons and tons of work in the Phoenix metro area. If we don't know the answer to your question, chances are we probably know somebody that does. It goes back to Jennifer, my wife's advice to me as I walked out the door to do my very first broadcast 28 years ago. Rosie, don't be an expert. Just be everybody's favorite nephew. If you don't know the answer, say you don't know, and just make sure you have a good recommendation to give them. You can give us a ring and join the conversation. We're talking mortgages this hour with Harold Perkins of Galaxy Lending Group. Our number is 1-888-767-4348. We're taking a little tour down History Lane today. If you read in our article in the Arizona Republic today, it's on the cover page of the Your Home section. We're talking about 1950s homes. I believe they were some of the best built homes you can possibly buy. And when people ask me what to look for when they're buying an Arizona home, I tell them, look, find a 1950s era home that has had as little remodeling or addition work to it. Get it as near a vintage position as possible. That way you know there weren't a lot of illegal code-violating additions and do-it-yourself weekend warrior projects tacked onto the house.
Not that we're opposed to those weekend warrior projects. You just got to do it right.
You just got to do it right. So in the Arizona Republic, we're talking about 1950s homes in the Casa Grande Dispatch. Tomorrow in the Sunday edition, we'll also be talking about 1950s homes of the Pinal and Pima County area. In the Green Valley News on last Friday, we talked about tiny houses or cleaning houses, and you'll get the article on the 1950s homes of your area in this coming Friday's edition. And in Tucson, the Arizona Daily Star, we talk about whatever Tucson residents write in and ask us about. Tomorrow's edition, we'll be talking about shower pan dilemmas. And next Sunday, we'll be talking about trimming particular trees. So in the newspapers, we're on how many radio stations right now? Five radio stations, seven
six.
Signals, eight, six, six stations,
six
nine
stations,
signals,
ten signals.
Ten signals. We're covering the state. We do it to become your best friend. We do it to inform you, to educate you, and to protect you. Anything having to do with your house, home, castle, or cabin, we're talking 1950s vintage homes. We had one of the Hall of Fame realtors and builders from Maricopa County, Mr. Bill Goodhart, in the last half of last hour, talking about what we were doing back in the 50s. And for those of you that didn't tune in, let me just paint this picture for you. You always hear about the post-World War II population explosion in Arizona. I want you to just close your eyes, and not if you're driving. I want you to just listen to these numbers. In 1940, Phoenix had a population of 65,000 people. That's roughly the size Flagstaff is today. So I guess what if you're in Flagstaff, this is what you have to look forward to in another 50 years. So Flagstaff, the size of Flagstaff in 1940, 65,000.
The fact that it's not flat as a pancake for miles around, I think, saves them from having to worry about that
think?
In a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I think as a builder, when you're looking at places, are you going to go try and excavate a whole mountain? Or are you going to say, you know, that spot between Casa Grande and Phoenix out there by Maricopa is flat as a pancake?
That could take a lot of slabs right there. Okay. So 10 years later, 1950, Phoenix has almost doubled in size to 110,000. So in a decade, it doubles from 65,000 to 110,000. The next decade, it grows over 300%. Mm. Tucson grows almost 400%. Phoenix balloons in 1960 up to 440,000 people. Tucson in that same decade of the 50s goes from 45,000 to over 210,000. So that's the population explosion. We're building primarily masonry homes back then. They're great projects. I'm bringing Harold into the conversation now from Galaxy Lending. You may have heard we were talking to Bill Goodhart last half hour. He was selling these homes with the lot for $10 a square foot.
Wow. Wow.
You take a 15, let's just for easy figures, 1,500 square feet, $10 a square foot, or another 80 cents a square foot if you wanted the wood shake shingles, which back then we weren't even putting those on a solid roof deck. We were putting them on ventilated decking, which made for a – that's how you build – that's how we teach Boy Scouts to build a campfire. So we don't do that anymore. So you're building this 1,500 square foot, buying this 1,500 square foot home, probably three bedroom, one and a half bath, and you're going to spend $10 a square foot for it. So you're buying the house for $15,000. In 1959.
Wow. A little more expensive now.
And in 1959, we're paying, what interest rate did we decide the other day? 4.08?
Average in 59 was about just over 4%, 4.08.
Which is about where we are today, right?
It's actually right where it is today, yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to come in with 20% down on a 1,500 square foot home that costs $10 a square foot on a sales price of $15,000. I'm going to come in with a $3,000 down payment, which in 1959 was the average median income for 1 year.
You're saving for down payment? Perfect.
$3,300 is the average median income. That's $1.50 an hour. What? That's $1.50 an hour in wages.
Okay. Okay.
The cost of living was a little lower then.
Okay. And that's where we're going to go with it. So I'm buying a house for $15,000. I put $3,000 down. I'm going to put, could I get a 30-year back in the 50s, or were they mostly 20 years?
Mostly 20 year. Usually okay. 15 or 20 years. There probably were some options for 30 year, but okay. Not very common.
So I'm going to put a 20-year conventional fixed note on a $12,000 mortgage. What's my payment going to be?
That's $75 a month. Well, you've got your tax plus your taxes and insurance.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Plus taxes and insurance. Can't forget those.
But $75 a month.
That's incredible. Absolutely incredible. And boy, those are really some great homes. But like I say, the average median income was $3,000 a year. Can any of you listeners remember making $3,000 a year? Can any of you listen? I can remember when I proposed to Jennifer, and this is in 1977. I had an older sister who was married to a school teacher, and the school teacher made $18,000. I remember that. And I was working construction part-time, and I made more than that. And one of the ways I convinced Jennifer's father to let us go ahead and get married while I was still in school is I said, I'm making more than my older brother-in-law, who's teaching school 9 months out of the year, and I'm only working construction like 6 months of the year, 6-7 months a year.
It's amazing. It's amazing. You know what's interesting to me about that, though, is that as we look at the house payment on that, it works out to about 30% of the monthly income in that time in the 50s. And looking at qualifying, we're looking at exactly the same thing today.
That's your rule of thumb, isn't it?
It's you want your house payment to be about 30% of your gross monthly income.
Now, we need to parse that number a little bit. Is that house payment plus Principal, interest, taxes, insurance, utilities, everything?
Just the, as we look at it, principal, interest, taxes, insurance, HOA, if there, I don't know if there were HOAs back then, but the,
that I knew of.
The, but, you know, as you look at the housing expense, that generally speaking, about 30% of your monthly income, and that tracks if we look at what was going on in the 50s, it's still the same.
30%. And then we got really wacky here about 8, 9, 10 years ago, and we decided, no, 50% was okay and that we would do it on stated income loans. And how did we get into that,
Harold? Well, then it got very silly. But the and so, you know, and the, and there was a time, unfortunately, that such a thing is does not exist anymore. But qualifying suddenly became not an issue, and if you had the credit and if you had the down payment, you could buy whatever you wanted to buy. Things have swung the other way now, and we're looking at whether or not you can actually afford the house that you're purchasing.
It's good to know that all those banking executives and Wall Street executives that invented those subprime things are all behind bars now.
Well...
I don't think anybody went to jail, did they?
No, they're
not one. Not
I don't
one.
Think so. There may have been a fine or two paid, but that's about it. Definitely a lot more regulation now than there was before.
And we've got some changes in the mortgage regulation coming up this summer that I want to talk about a little bit. But what I want to do is I want to follow this house, okay, in 1959 that was worth $15,000. That we're going to put 20% down, we're going to put a mortgage on it for $12,000, and we're going to have a monthly payment of $75. I want, when we get back, to take that same house and buy it again in 1969, 1979, and 1989. We're going to see what happens to the price of that home, we're going to see what happens to the monthly payment of that home, and we're going to do some of the creative financing reenactments that have actually cause some of the housing dilemmas that we have right now. And the thing that y'all really need to stay tuned for is Harold is going to predict the date of the next housing bubble.
We always got a surprise for you.
Okay.
When we get back.